fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's ladies first on Friday's show. The nickname of Malawi's national women's football team is the Scorchers. And you might say the Scorchers recently blazed their way to some football history. They won their first CASAFA Women's Championship in Pretoria, South Africa, where they dethroned 2022 champion Zambia 2-1 in the final. The victory by the Malawian women set off celebrations in their country. A trophy parade was held in the capital, Lilongwe. Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera also hosted the Scorchers at a televised luncheon at the State House in Lilongwe. President Chakwera praised the team for good discipline and great fighting spirit. And he also rewarded each Scorcher with $1,300 and a 35 meters by 25 meters plot of land in Lilongwe. In this Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Lamech Messina tells us more from Blantyre, Malawi. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. It was all pomp and jubilation at the State House when players for the Malawi National Women's Football Team, popularly known as the Scorchers, officially presented the COSAFA Cup to Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera. This is the first time in 35 years for any national team in Malawi to win a cup at an international competition. Malawi last won a cup in 1988 when the men's national football team won the Eastern Central African Senior Challenge Cup after beating Zambia 3-1. President Lazarus Chakwera said Malawi's historic triumph on October 15th signifies the dedication and commitment of the players.
It is not by luck that you beat South Africa 4-3 in your first group stage match. It's not by luck that you dismantled Eswatini by 8-0 in your second group stage match. It is not by luck that you disoriented Madagascar with the 3-1 in your third group stage match.
President Chakwera also said it was not by luck that the Scorchers left neighboring Zambia dizzy with a 2-1 victory in the final.
And it is certainly not by luck that you snatched the crown from the grasp of the defending champions themselves with a 2-1 victory over Zambia.
As a token of appreciation, President Chakwera ordered the Minister of Lands to allocate plots of 30 meters by 25 meters and pledged cash of about $1,300 to all players and the technical panel. The rewards, including others the Football Association of Malawi pledged, are a morale booster for the Scorchers, who, despite their win, received nothing from championship organizers. In a statement this week, COSAFA officials said there will be no prize money for the teams, largely because no sponsor came on board to carry the cost. But it said the prize money would only be given to the player of the tournament, the golden boot, and the golden glove winners. According to the Football Association of Malawi, Malawi made its international debut in the COSAFA Women's Championship in 2002 when it was eliminated in the group stages. Over the years, the country has been unlucky until 2021 when it finished second after losing to Tanzania 1-0 in the finals. Adride Migogo is the chairperson for the National Women's Football Association. She says this year's victory is a result of a transformation the team has recently gone through, including the recruitment of new players and technical team members.
We are happy to have made you, sir, and the whole nation proud. We promise you, Your Excellency, that with adequate support from government, donors, private sector support. This cup will only be the first of many to come. And our dream is to put Malawi on the world map in women's football.
However, sports analysts told VOA that it is now up to the government to provide a lot of support to women's football development by offering sponsorships and encouraging young girls to take up the women's football. At the moment, only the Football Association of Malawi is sponsoring women footballers with funding from the World Football Body, FIFA. Walter Nyamilandu is the president of the Football Association of Malawi. He says the association set up necessary structures for the development of women's football across the country, and he appeals for more support from the private sector in the game.
The coach has assembled a young squad with an average age of 17 years. It is a team that will take us for the next 10, 15 years going forward, meaning to say that the success that we have achieved today, if nurtured, will be a continuous thing for Malawi.
During the COSAFA Championship, Temwa Chawinga, who plays professional soccer for the Chinese club Wuhan, was the Scotia's captain, and Love Mofazili was the coach for the team. Temwa, a younger sister to PSG player Tabitha Chawinga, won both the Player of the Tournament award and the Golden Boot as a top scorer with 9 goals during the COSAFA Championship. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamek Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
Thanks, Lebec. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Scorchers of Malawi for winning their first COSAFA Women's Championship. As Lebec mentioned, it was the first cup Malawi has lifted in international football in 35 years. In African men's football, the draw was held recently for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. 24 teams were drawn into six groups of four each. In Group F, 2022 World Cup semifinalist Morocco will play the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania. David Kwalimwa is an online editor with the Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, David said the Taifa Stars of Tanzania are the underdogs in the group.
Out of the 24 teams are competing in the 2024 Africa Cup of Nations set for Ivory Coast, East Africa is represented by one team, namely Tanzania, which is pulled in Group F against the Democratic Republic of Congo, Morocco, and Zambia. Remember as well, Tanzania is the lowest ranked African team in this tournament.
West Africa produced 11 teams for the AFCON finals. Do you think this trend is a dominance of African football by the West African sub-region?
West Africa has always dominated the Africa Cup of Nations tournament. If you look at it with Nigeria, Senegal, Cameroon having won the tournament a couple of times, alongside Ghana, of course. So it is true that the dominance of West Africa in African football can be seen at the Africa Cup of Nations over time. And this is because analysts believe the genetical makeup of West Africans has given them an edge in terms of playing football competitively. And the fact that West Africans really did embrace football at an early age as compared to East Africans has also been good for them. West Africans have realized that football is not only a sport, but it is a business, thanks to very many opportunities of their players in Asia, in Europe, in America, in South America. So West Africans have come to find out that football can really be a business and a good career opportunity. East Africans are slowly picking up, but it will take time for them to get to the heights that West African footballers have had. But East Africa as well has had her fair share of domination in athletics, in rugby, in volleyball, in other sports, but are not quite to the levels of West African teams the Africa, the Cup of Nations, and in football in Africa generally. We might also mention that North Africans have had their share of domination in this tournament.
David, do you also think that East African teams will in future produce more teams for AFCON finals?
East Africans, or East African team rather, will have to really change a lot in terms of their structure and development to stand a chance of competing favorably in Africa against West African teams. There has been a hint of the potential of offer from East Africa with players like McDonald Mariga, of course, playing for Inter Milan and winning the UEFA Champions League in 2010. You remember Victor Wanyama, the Kenyan midfielder, also playing well for Tottenham in the English Premier League and the Champions League. Tanzania has had forward Mbwana Samata represent Aston Villa in the Champions League. Michael Olunga, as well, a Kenyan forward, has played in the Spanish La Liga for Girona and even scored a hat-trick in one of the games. So there is a lot of potential in East Africa, but there is a lot as well that needs to be done, including investing in the development of talent, investing in infrastructure, making sure that players receive their football education early enough. These and other things will give East Africa a chance at competing.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online editor with the Nation Media Group. And David spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi, Kenya. Athletics Kenya has published its calendar of events for early 2024 ahead of the Paris Olympics. It includes some events held earlier than usual to allow Kenyan athletes to prepare for the African Games, which are scheduled from March 8th to March 23rd in Ghana. Athletics Kenya says the trials for the African Games will be held in Nairobi on February 16th and February 17th. One week later, on February 24th, Kenya will hold its national cross-country championships. And the Kipkano Classic International Track and Field Meet will be held on April 20th in Nairobi. One Kenyan athlete who has garnered a lot of headlines in recent years is Eliud Kipchoge, the two-time Olympic champion and former world record holder in the marathon. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Kipchoge last month after he won his record fifth Berlin Marathon title, clocking 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 42 seconds in the German capital. Here's Andy.
Eliud, it's been quite a day in the marathon. For you, a record fifth win in Berlin, and of course, an extraordinary women's world record as well. You mentioned shortly after the race about you always learn something from a race. Is that something you actively do? You say, I'm going to have a period sitting down and maybe on your own or talking with others. Maybe after you have your kind of month of recovery, do you set aside time for digesting those lessons?
Yes. You know, sport is about enjoying, and the only way to enjoy is to accept the outcome. I'm going to take off to... And actually, what has happened, that's been happening for the last 4 months in the race, before I pick up again for the next season. So it's a time thing with the management, with the technical team, share with the whole team and move on.
Also, I thought it was very interesting, you mentioned that in your first Berlin win, first of the five, you felt that athletics and marathon running was much more of an individual sport, because we think of all athletes as individuals. But now you're in the forefront of saying it's really teamwork.
It's really a teamwork. When I was here for the first time, it was still individual, but now it's teamwork. I'm managed by the team. I'm inside a team called an end-running team. And, you know, that's where the world is going. Marathons will be actually team events. And I trust this will be translated to something else in the future.
Of course, there must be pressure on you. You know, you are who you are, double Olympic champion, hoping to win a record third. But it interests me, when you talk about teamwork, I wonder, I'm not trying to say it takes pressure off you, but it's a bit like saying we're all pulling together, you know, like on a boat rowing, rather than it's just one person and there's only one set of oars. Is it a different kind of pressure because it's very much a collective effort?
Pressure will be actually shared by all of us. We share pressure. I have pressure in my shoulders, but we share with the whole team because we are a team. We speak one language. We see things with true eyes and hear things with true ears and move on.
There's been so much to digest today from the Berlin Marathon, for not just for you and the other elite runners, but also members of the press. I mean, have you had time to think of what an extraordinary women's record it was? Because, you know, we're talking amongst ourselves and saying, well, breaking 2:12, 40 years ago, a man was a pretty good international runner if he broke 2:12. And now we have Tigist Assefa, 2:11:53. How extraordinary do you think that is?
I always say no human is limited. And that's why women are not limited at all. That's why 2:11 is now a world record.
And do you think, well, obviously she's very talented, made big improvements, but there are other talented women around. Is also, you think this is like a psychological barrier, like breaking the 4-minute mile all those years ago, that other women think, well, I've raced her, I can do it. We're going to see more of those times.
Absolutely. Assefa has shown them the way, and I trust most of them will change, you know, their mentality of thinking that it's fast. Now that they will come to reality, they have to think and they have to try to break the world record. So it's the ball is on their side, and you know it will no longer be just a story. These actions just occurred some hours ago.
You know, I was one of many journalists seeing you win the 5,000 metres in Paris 20 years ago. I wonder, when you were starting out in school as a young runner, I mean, the idea of winning one Olympic title, world titles, let alone the possibility of winning three, I mean, did you have those dreams, or has it been a gradual thing? Well, I've got to one stage, I could go to another.
I do not have any dream at all, but, you know, we are growing every day. The years are growing, you are growing older, you are growing more wiser. We have people to interact, people to exchange ideas, you get a lot of knowledge, and that's where we are now. So it's as the time goes, you get more ideas, you get more interested in something to try.
Just one last question. We're talking Sunday evening, the day of your race. On Wednesday, you're going to be back in Vienna, a very historic place for you, and it's where you did the going under 2 hours in that special effort. Are you going to have special memories when you come out of Vienna Airport and you visit the scene of that achievement?
I think it will be fresh again in my mind. I think it's my first time to visit after breaking the 2-hour barrier. I think it will be a huge thing for me to be there. I think it will be really challenging, and I'm looking forward. I think it will locally ignite what happened in 2019. But I will be happy, I will be enjoying now. You know, at that time I was more focused, more tense to run. But now it's just taking myself there and see what has happened.
Thank you, Eliud.
Thank you.
That's Eliud Kipchoge, Kenya's 2-time Olympic champion and the former world record holder in the marathon. And Eliud was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards after winning his record 5th Berlin Marathon title last month in Germany.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases?
Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Samson Omale joins us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa Sport Highlight for this week with the African Football League, which will kick off in Dar es Salaam, the capital of Tanzania, on Friday. 8 of Africa's most famous and iconic clubs will compete for the grand prize of $4 million, which goes into the winners of the inaugural AFL tournament, raising the stakes considerably in the tournament that brings an exciting new African football product to the world football calendar. The opening match on Friday between perennial Tanzanian champions Simba SC and 11-time African champions from Cairo, Al Ahly, kicks off at the Benjamin Mkapa Stadium. Ahead of the opening match, Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe on Friday said the African Super League is meant to be competitive and attractive, especially at a time the continent produced some of the best football stars in the world.
The African Football League is one of the most important partnerships, foundations that is going to make a huge contribution to making sure that African football is globally competitive. So we are proud because we've produced some of the best players in the world. And there's a clear understanding that we have to make African football attractive. And so one of the most attractive ways to showcase African football is at the highest level in the world, at the World Cup. And that's why I keep saying we are so proud of what Morocco has done. Make history, take us to the semi-final. The next World Cup, it is the next level. We've been to the semi-final, we've broken... We've surpassed where we have ever been in the past. The next level is we've got to be in the finals.
The CAF president added that the continental body is interested in investing and developing African football to make it much more competitive than what it is now.
The clubs that are participating in the African Football League, it's incredible. Of the 8 clubs that are participating in the African Football League and the 24 that will be participating in the fully fledged African Football League next year. So you've got to look at the African Football League within the context of our goal, our objectives. What are we trying to achieve? And part of what we are trying to achieve is at club level. We want African football clubs to be globally competitive. Again, they must win on the field of play. When they participate in the FIFA Club Championships, FIFA World Club Championships, they've got to do well. TP Mazembe made us proud by going once to the semi-final. We've got to do better.
On Saturday, 16-time Angolan champions Atletico Petroleros de Luanda host South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns. The winners of the last 6 South African domestic league titles in a row at the Luanda's Estadio 11 de Novembro. On Sunday, Democratic Republic of Congo champions TP Mazembe will host Tunisian giant Osporans, also at the Dar es Salaam's Benjamin Mkapa Stadium. In the last of the tournament's mouth-watering opening weekend games, we'll see Nigeria powerhouse Enyimba FC host legendary Moroccan champions Wydad Athletic Club at the Uyo's Gosula Pabio Stadium on Sunday. The Nigerian government has expressed its determination to ensure the development of athletes discovered from the recently concluded 7th edition of the Nigerian National Youth Games held in Asaba, the Delta State capital in southwest Nigeria. The country's Minister of Sports Development, Senator John Owan Eno, explained that the games was designed not only to enhance and elevate sports regionally and globally, but also to establish a standard for athletes' succession from one generation to another. The minister is of the view that if given the needed training and encouragement, Nigerian athletes were capable of being counted among the best globally because of their potentials in the field of sports.
As part of what plan that we have, you know, to do things a little bit differently, we just finished the National Youth Games in Asaba. And when I declared open those games, I said it will not just be a yearly ritual. you go and compete and people win, states win, some states are first, some states are last, and stop at that. The games must be a means to an end. And in this case, we have people who have won medals, we have people who have shown their competencies and have excelled in different sports. The plan going forward by the ministry is to be able to target and focus on these people and see what more we can do to support them to grow in those sports. I mean, call it minister's team, you know, so that we can monitor those that we can get some support in terms of partnerships and scholarships, both within the country and outside, we will try to. But the goal would be to see how we can grow these talents from the young ages that they are and get them transit to elite sports.
In rugby news, South African coach Jack Nyamba has named an unchanged match day 23 the most experienced in Springbok history, from the one that edged France to play England in the World Cup semi-final in Paris on Saturday.
We've played them since the 2019 World Cup. We've played them, I think it was Eddie's last game we played them, and I guess England will feel like that. You guys took it away from us, and we would like to take it back, and that's the excitement. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I feel that's how professional sport are. You want to rectify problems, you want to make your country proud, you want to make your people proud, you want to make your team proud. And I think two teams, England's unbeaten, they you know, they beat they stuck to their guns.
And out to golf. The 82nd edition of Uganda's most prestigious golf tournament, the Johnny Walker Uganda Golf Championship, is well underway at the Uganda Golf Club in Kampala. Besides golfers from Uganda, the Open has attracted players from Rwanda, Kenya, Burundi, Tanzania, South Sudan, Sweden, and China. Ugandan golfer Geoffrey Usubunga kept his shot at 10 on the par after day two to maintain his lead at the Uganda Golf Open at the 72 par Kitente golf course.
My start was a little bit tough. I started on number one going in the bush, but I was able to save my par. Number two, still I went in the bush, then I got a bogey. Number three, I got to notice that I had to change a shot. That is when I tried coming back. I got a birdie, and then I got a birdie five, had another birdie on eight, and a birdie nine. Generally, the game today was a little bit tough, though I played well, because the greens were a little bit challenging today.
Usubunga carries a six-stroke lead over second place Ibrahim Bagalana, while Joseph Chiwaya is in third place with a par level so far. Chiwaya, the winner of the Open in 2021, described Usubunga's lead so far as well-deserved.
Puts a little bit of pressure because, well, he's a good player, and he's been playing some good tournaments outside Uganda, in Nairobi. So he's got the experience, he's got the skill, but what he's doing, I can do it also like him. Just that maybe I haven't clicked yet into the tournament moves, but well, days are getting done, and I'm hoping to click in the day tomorrow. So anything is possible.
Staying with East Africa, Kenyan swimmers will be allowed to resume international competitions after the Global Swimming Federation lifted a four-year ban, according to the country's Olympic Committee. The East African nation was banned by World Aquatics in 2019 after the Kenya Swimming Federation failed to meet election deadlines. Kenya's Sports Cabinet Secretary, Ababu Nawamba, has welcomed the lifting of Kenya's four-year ban, saying the move was timely enough to allow Kenyan swimmers to participate in qualifiers for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games.
I'm looking forward to Kenya swimmers to get back into international competitions, to fly the Kenyan flag. Most significantly, we run now to prepare Kenyan swimmers to participate in Olympic qualifiers so that we can get our swimmers to participate in the Paris Olympics 2024.
That's Ababu Namwamba, Kenya's Sports Cabinet Secretary, and thanks to Samson Omale for that extra spicy package of African sports news. And that wraps up the October 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.